Worship leaders' secrets. Sometimes we talk about how the list that we've got together, we're not sure what's going to, we're like, man, between two and three is kind of rough. We're just going to believe God to bring a prophecy or something right there and bail me out. Bring a word of knowledge, Holy Spirit, and rescue me right there. And sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't, and you're needy. Well, we've been going through how to worship God the way that he wants, and it is so cool to look at these notes and to look at what Pastor Carl Barden, one of our founding pastors, put together decades ago now, and it's just profound, absolutely awesome stuff. And what I'm going to cover tonight is 11 pages of notes from him, which is about 22 pages of notes for other people. And there's just so much in here, and so this is a little bit kind of the Reader's Digest condensed version of it or whatever. But tonight we're going to be looking at the aspect of praise here just briefly. And I guess I'd encourage all of us, and even if you've heard this material before, it's just so wonderful to kind of be refreshed in what the Scripture says here. It's sort of like if you've been married for 10 years, it doesn't mean that you should never go to marriage retreat. It is wonderful to just kind of renew your first love and to be reminded of what's most important, and it is profound, and it's amazing how quickly selfishness can begin to creep into our worship when this is really ultimately all about God. Amen? Amen. All right. So I'm going to start with this little illustration. I'm going to put this slide up here. On the left side is going to be one way of thinking, and on the right side is going to be the other way of thinking. Go ahead and just roll all those out, Hazel. Just go ahead. So this first one, yeah, keep going. And the first one, not really the right side, Java Jeffrey. What this is Suzanne and I, one of our first dates, we sat down, and we talked about what our favorite things were. Okay, because we're getting to know each other, and we wanted to be able to bless each other, and these are some of the things we talked about. So up at the top, favorite coffee. Suzanne didn't really drink much coffee at that time. She's gotten saved since then. And but on the right side, Java Chip Frappuccino. That was my favorite drink at the time. It's still excellent, although it's a week of calories, and so I try to be careful with it. Underneath that, favorite kind of snack was high tea for Suzanne. Mine was just coffee and a scone. You'll notice a little bit of a theme in mine there. Favorite dessert for Suzanne, yellow cake, and mine, cinnamon rolls. Her favorite entree, Pacific salmon, preferably Copper River. And then mine over there, prime rib. And then favorite car at the bottom. There's the one thing that we really had in common. We had the same car, different color, but exact same model car, year, and everything. When we met each other, that's how we knew it was Jesus. And so we got that there. So you'll notice that there's a lot of differences there, some similarities and everything. But we sat down because we knew what our preferences were, but we wanted to know what the other person's preferences were because we wanted to bless each other in the relationship. We didn't say, hey, I have an idea. I want you to bless me, and so here's the things I like. You know, deal with it. That wasn't the point at all. The point was, here, I'd like to know what you like because I want to bless you. And that's really, really important stuff. And in fact, it would have been cruel kind of to do otherwise. If I had said, Suzanne, I want to bless you. What's your favorite candy bar? And she said, you know what? If you love me, you'll figure it out. McKenna, a little bit rough. And so let's say I got her Reese's, and she looks at the Reese's and says, no. And so then I get her something else that's kind of cookie-based, and she says, I've got actually a wheat sensitivity. Are you trying to kill me? And so you go through the process, and you go, this is terrible. And if you loved me, maybe you would tell me. But no, if you love me, you'd figure it out. I mean, that's cruel in a relationship, obviously. And then once you know those preferences, I guess if you're saying you love the person, it's cruel to ignore that. The thing is, it's important to know what the other person like if you're trying to bless that person. And so it is with our God. In the beauty and wonder and majesty of our God, he doesn't just leave us alone to try to figure out what it is that he likes when we come into his presence to worship him. He lets us know. And perhaps even the greater beauty of that is we find in that what we like as well. It's sort of like, man, the first time you ever bought flowers for a significant other, you're thinking, this is a complete waste of money. These are going to last 2 hours, maybe not even that, before they shrivel up into nothingness. And my $50 is going to just be thrown in a dumpster here sometime soon because these things just don't last, you know? And you're kind of distressed over spending the money that way. But then you see the reaction of the person that you love, and you think, you know, maybe I'm called to be a florist after all. Flowers are a beautiful thing because you love the other person, you love the reaction. And when we get to know what it is that God likes, then it's a beautiful thing. And so tonight we're talking specifically about praise, about praising him and what the Scripture says there. John 4:23 says this, and I love this. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. A lot of times we're trying to figure out, how do I draw near to God? And if we will worship him in spirit, you know, with the integrity of our hearts, if we'll, I'm trying to engage in what it is that who my God is, and then in truth, my character, who it is that I'm at the core on the inside is lining up with all this stuff. It says that he will seek us out. God will track us down. We don't have to try to figure out where it is that he is. If we worship him in spirit and in truth, he will find us. He seeks those that worship him that way. And then here's the other beautiful promise here in John 7:17. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And this is Jesus letting us know that some of this teaching might sound a little bit strange to you, but if you'll do it, you will find out whether it's true. The fruit will show you whether what it is that you're doing is of God or not. He is going to show you through the whole thing. And so as we go, God, this seems a little bit strange maybe, what I see in Scripture here, but this is what you say you like. I'm going to trust you in that. I'm going to step out in it. And he says, trust the fruit. You'll see whether this is what it is that I would have you do or not. And so we've got to step beyond ourselves if we're going to do what it is that God wants us to do. If we're going to worship God, not the way that we prefer, but the way he prefers. If we're going to worship him, not the way that we want, but the way that he wants. We've got to know what it is that he likes, and we've got to step outside of ourselves into what it is that he does like. If you wait until you feel like doing something, you may never do it. A lot of times we think, hey, I'm going to wait until I'm really feeling it, and then I'll whatever. And we all know that that's really true. Darren Hardy said this: there's one thing that 99% of failures and successful folks all have in common. They all hate doing the same things. The difference is successful people do them anyway. And there are some things that might seem kind of distasteful to us, not my preference or whatever, but if we'll embrace those, we find out all of a sudden this is a beautiful thing, and our God knows what it is that he is doing. I wonder sometimes why it is that it takes me so much faith to step beyond myself and into what it is that God would have me do, because he meets me every single time. And so it is with praise. What is it that the Scripture says, and how can we bless him? How can we honor him? So number one, what is praise? Well, Webster defines it as to express a favorable judgment of. Seems a little bit kind of cardboard there a little bit, but I approve, to commend. And we go on here. Hey, you're doing great. To glorify as a god or saint, especially by the attributions of affections. In other words, is to exalt, to magnify, to tell someone how wonderful, how awesome they are. And when we come to praise God, we are there to tell him he is great. He is great. And that's what it means to come and to praise him. What is praise? It is making much of the greatness of God and telling him how amazing he is. Now, there's over 1,700 scriptures that talk about how to worship God the way he wants. We're just looking at a few of these as we go through these lessons. One of the words that's translated praise over and over again is tehillah. It occurs 56 times, and it means a song of praise. It means a song to sing. You take a song and tell God how great he is. Psalm 22:3, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. He inhabits, he dwells in the praises of his people. Deuteronomy 10:21, he is thy praise. Not only do we praise God, but he is our praise. Psalm 43, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. There's an expressing of the gratefulness that we have and how awesome our God is. Isaiah 60:18, thou shalt call thy wall salvation, thy gates praise. They're at the gates, the place that keeps us safe, the place where things that come in and out of our lives is praise. That is where God is made much of. Remember, Israel was held captive by Egypt, and we can be held captive by our own comfort, our own ideas of how this is all supposed to work. We've got to blow it wide open and say, God, what is it that you would like? When we praise him, that's what happens. So what is praise? Second, when to praise. And this is great. All the time. When to praise, not just the hour or two or three that we're gathered together in the corporate setting, but all the time. Psalm 34 says, bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 63, I will bless thee while I live. Your praise will continually be in my mouth. That's how it, continually, all the time. We're supposed to have a song of praise always on our hearts. And we cannot be demanding and grateful at the same time. And so sometimes if we wonder, how do I really really live a lifestyle of praise? Well, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to deal with the demandingness that sometimes we walk in. We cannot be grateful and demanding at the same time. And so we've got to come into the presence of God. We've got to lay our needs out before Him. We've got to pray through stuff like the Lord's Prayer, when we know He will satisfy our souls. Our trust is in Him. And we're able to step out in praise and thanksgiving, and then we can praise Him continually. Third, why to praise? Why to praise? And there's so much in Scripture here and so many things here. A couple of highlights. The first is deliverance happens when we praise. In 2 Chronicles 20, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord ambushed their enemy. All right, they were overwhelmed with the size of the enemy forces coming against them, Israel was, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And what they did is they sent praise. They sent Judah first. They sent the singers of Israel. They sent the worshipers of Israel out to battle first. You're kind of going, hey, if a bunch of us are going to die, let the artsy singing people die first, and then we can all run while they're getting attacked. I don't know. You kind of wonder, what were they thinking? But they knew what it is that God was doing. We're faster than them. We'll run away while they're getting attacked. No. They sent praise first, and God ambushed the enemy. When we praise God, our problems are ambushed. Deliverance comes when we begin to praise our God. Second, freedom comes. We can wear what Scripture calls the garment of praise, the covering of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you know what's interesting, those of you that are kind of old-timers here, I'm including myself in that, lest you feel real old, but we used to sing this stuff all the time. Amen? Amen, right. And so you're kind of trapped, all right? We sing these scriptures like, I have put on the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. You guys remember that song? I have put on the garment, right? We sing that song, right? Right? And the spirit of heaviness, and we go, it's like, gone from, and we'd like throw away the spirit of heaviness, whatever. And you're trapped. You can't just stand there and sing, I put on my garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. This is depressing. You know, you're trapped, okay? You're like, this is scripture. I'm singing scripture, all right? And if I'm really a Christian, then this is supposed to change my life. And you're kind of stuck between a rock and a God place. And you've got to figure out what it is that you're going to do in that moment. And you kind of go, you know what? Maybe I should believe this stuff. Maybe I should start to believe this stuff. And you do. You start going, the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. And all you had to do was look over at Tony dancing, and the spirit of heaviness would start to leave you. You know, that looks awesome. You know, you maybe smile a little bit, and he smile at you and grab your hand and dance with you, and you're like, it's gone. All right, it is gone. It's gone. The spirit of heaviness is leaving. It is just it's so wonderful to celebrate God's presence. So we don't sing scripture as much anymore, and tonight we're covering this stuff as sort of a reminder. And so trap yourself, I guess, in scripture tonight as we continue in praise and worship and song here a little bit later. Freedom comes. We trade the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and we are free. And then the last one, why to praise? Purpose. Isaiah 43 says, this people have I formed for myself. This people have I formed for myself. Here's purpose right here, okay? They shall show forth my praise. This people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Our purpose is to praise Him. And we know no greater sense of destiny than when we live out our purpose. And our purpose is to praise Him. So why to praise? Deliverance, freedom, and purpose. And then last, we're going to cover this again so briefly, for how to praise, how to praise. And we just have moments to touch on this. The first one, physically. How to praise? Physically. Toda, the word in the Hebrew, is used 33 times, and it means to extend the hands in praise. To extend the hand physically. How do we pray? Scripture makes it very clear. We do so physically. We extend our hands in praise. And remember, extending the hands is a universal sign of surrender. Remember, I heard one of my brothers say one time that if you walk into a bank, everybody has their hands up, you don't think, oh, it's a Pentecostal bank. I don't know if this is for me, all right? No, what you do is you lift your hands, hands too, because there's someone in authority there, and that's a little bit, and you lift your hands going, somebody owns this place right now, and it's not me, all right? That's what you do. And that's a universal sign of someone is in charge. There's someone here greater than me, and we extend our hands in praise. We do so, and part of that is submission and surrender. Psalm 50, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And right there, the word praise, Toda, extends their hands to surrender in surrender to me. They glorify me. Whoever extends his hands glorifies. Whoever surrenders to me, submits to me, God says, glorifies me. We want to glorify him, praise him. We put our hands up and say, I surrender. And it might cost us a little bit of reputation. We may be one of those people that really, when the song really gets going just right, we maybe, you know, get our shoulder going a little bit, you know, I get a little twitch, and that's kind of the extent of our extending something, you know, we're kind of proud of that. And maybe it's time to kind of take the next bold step and just go for it and extend our hands to him. Psalm 134, 1 through 3. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Oh, another song, amen. There it is again. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Physically. Second, how do we praise? Thankfully. Thankfully. The attitude of our heart is huge. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. We come before him with thankfulness. It is unbecoming of someone who comes into the presence of someone great to come demanding. It's unbecoming. It is not right. We're supposed to come with a little gift. Maybe it's just a little token. You're going to visit a king someplace, whatever. You're like, hey, I've got a small bag of lentils. It's a big deal where I come from. It's all I got. Here's the lentils. What do I do with those? It's important. I don't know, but here you go. So I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't have much to bring. But you don't ask for gold in return. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we trust that God is going to meet our needs, however it is he wants to meet our needs. But we just come to thank him. We come thankfully. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Praise him with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And then see, here's the last thing. We'll have the worship team get ready now. Sacrificially. I love this. How do we praise sacrificially? Jeremiah 17 talks about the sacrifices of praise, and I think most of us understand that to some degree. We go, you don't know what my day was like getting here. You don't know what happened at work today. You don't know how things have gone at home. You don't know the trouble that I've got. You know what? And that's sometimes what makes it a sacrifice. Psalm 50:23 says this, those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. And our last scripture tonight, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me tell you a little secret that hopefully we'll be releasing to us tonight. And that's this, a sacrifice never felt like it. A sacrifice never felt like it. You see, Isaac be the closest thing we see to a willing sacrifice and then displayed through Jesus, but we also know that neither of them would have felt like it. We know Jesus didn't feel like it. He understood what he was doing, but he sweat drops of blood. Father, take this from me. A sacrifice never felt like it. And so if tonight you don't necessarily really feel like it, if you're kind of going, it's been tough, and I'm kind of here for a pick-me-up, then maybe tonight your pick-me-up is going to be bringing a sacrifice of praise because you don't feel like it. That's what makes it a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That which cost us the most is the most valuable gift that we can give, that we can bring. And when it's easy, it's not precious. When it's difficult, it matters and has value. Jesus, we ask tonight that you'd help us, God, to kind of lose ourselves and our issues and the greatness of who you are. We come tonight to bring you praise, thanksgiving. We come tonight to even bring a sacrifice of praise. You are worthy of it all. And we come demanding nothing, but here to give you praise.